is alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit, of the joints and the marrow, and is a critic of thoughts and intents of the heart. All Scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Study to show yourselves approved unto God, a workman that does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. All right, we're in the doctrine of surpassing grace. Doctrine of surpassing grace. Page one, we'll pick up here. All right, let's be sure that we are off to the intake of the word of God on the right foot. It is your responsibility to put aside anything that would be an encumbrance to your concentration on the word of God. All I can do in this call to worship is address you in this fashion and ask that you get yourself and keep yourself under the filling ministry of God the Holy Spirit, because anything less is not worshiping God in spirit and in truth. And what is presented to you here is the truth. It is a very, very, as all are, very important part of the Word of God, the concept that God wants to reward His children in phase three for their applications of doctrine in time, and to inform you and to encourage you and instruct you on how you as a believer can lay up treasure in heaven every day and every way, and how you can also cash in if you're willing to endure, keep your endurance to the end, the ultimate reward, the one you obviously really don't want to miss out on. So let's take the usual time to prepare ourselves. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we have assembled ourselves together as one body in Christ so that we can pursue the mind of Christ. We thank you that in this conflict and in the difficulties of living in time, that you continue to supply us with the necessary grace and support to make it possible for us in this present environment to be able to assemble ourselves together, and that you keep this door open for positive volition. Continue to bless us in this regard, and may this Bible class be contributed to that end in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, we covered the preliminary considerations, and we pointed out that there are, and this is not intended to be totally complete, but we have presented to you some of the synonyms in the Word of God for the concept of SG3. We pointed out that the administration of these rewards will be handed out at the judgment seat of Christ, and that all of us must appear and will appear on that occasion, and we will appear before Jesus Christ, who as God and as man, but in his glorified state, will somehow be able to evaluate every believer of the dispensation. And that involves, obviously, millions of believers, millions of people. And this will have to take place in a relatively short period of time. But it will occur, and it will be very obvious to all of us what our phase two was all about. Rewards will be handed out. And the other stuff, the human good, human activity, which there's plenty of that on the part of Christians, and human good, that will all be burned up. Any sacrifices they make, any difficulties they go through, they're not in fellowship, or they're not in the areas of the will of God that we've pointed out to you from the top of the list, geographical will, operation of will, viewpoint will, so forth, then obviously that knocks them out. Believers have to be committed to God in the totality of their life, and not just some of the things they want to do. They've got to be willing to line up with those general areas, and while perfection is not required, we have rebound and forgiveness. And after running into a few people, not many, but occasionally you run outside the church. You run into people, and they don't have this clear at all. It is, I mean, the things that are so basic to you and fundamental in kind of an expression like we have, well, are you in fellowship? Well, I'm in fellowship. I was like, I got out of fellowship. You don't hear that. You just do not hear that. Maybe you've heard it. I don't. In the interaction with this Christian world out there. And all this is all fuzzy in their thinking. That when the believers sin, and that what they're supposed to do when they sin, and how they get back in fellowship, and why you need to be in fellowship, etc., etc. And considering the fact that we have to deal with the sin nature, which so easily entangles us, trips us up, then it would be something that we should constantly be thinking about, occupied with. But they have all these substitutes that are quite inappropriate, are not, that fall way short of the mark. All right? SG3, Roman numeral 4, surpasses anything this present world has to offer. And the present world has a lot to offer. I mean, if you're in the right place at the right time, it has some pretty impressive stuff that people are out there. One more go-around for the season of whatever you want to describe it. One more go-around for the frantic search for fulfillment, which there is no fulfillment in that. The world is seeking the things down here. So the believer begins to learn that there's something better and something permanent, something that's eternal. And, of course, like everything else, from salvation on up the ladder, we embrace this by faith. We don't see. Our faith is not sight. It is when we're out of here. But for now, we operate and live, and the righteous walk by faith. And the object is the two things. You contribute the faith, and the object is content of Scripture, truth. And this is one of the objects, SG3, eternal reward. So it surpasses anything this present world has to offer. 1 Corinthians 2:9. But just as it is written, the things which eye has not seen, and ear has not heard reports of, in other words, and which have not entered into the heart of man, this is the imagination, which some people have a very good and high level of imagination of things. All that God has prepared for those who love Him. And God has prepared things, and of course, we don't skip over, for those who love Him. And you exhibit your love for God by operating under His directive will. And obviously, there are big commandments and there's lesser commandments. I mean, the Bible does recognize that there are bigger and lesser commandments. That they're not all equal in their stature in that regard. I mean, they're all truth and they're all required of us. But the person who teaches others by communication or by example to disregard the lesser commandments, forget about the larger ones. a large commandment, a monster commandment would be, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together in your local church under your right pastor. Don't forsake that. That'd be a big commandment. Lesser commandments, he who by example or teaching tells others, you don't need to do that, etc., etc. Listen to me. He will be least in the kingdom of God. Now, and that's one thing not to know something. God has patience with us, and we're all growing in grace and knowledge and figuring stuff out. The people here, they're at different levels of spiritual growth. Some have not been exposed to certain things. Others have been exposed numerous times, inside and out, on topics. And on those topics, I've done my due diligence of presenting the evidence for what reason of why it is. Why would you embrace anything different? Because you're arrogant and you're disobedient. And if you do that, you run a big risk. You always can pull your horns in, but, you know, it's the whole thing. We'll see. We'll see what side that doctrine fell on and what the operation of will of God, the viewpoint will of God on that particular doctrine is. So, anyway. The wreath / prize, commonly translated crown, is really a mistranslation, but we'll go along with it. If somebody says the crown, that's fine. I'm not going to jump down your throat. It's not, you know, worth doing. But you just know that it's the wreath. In antiquity, wreaths were handed out for a whole variety of different things. They were like, you know, the gold chain around the neck or the gold medal or whatever, a ring. Whatever it is that people get today for achievement, a trophy, a name on something, you know, put in some hall of fame. You know, a lot of them are so dubious. But anyway, that all these kind of things that people gain the pinnacle and in all these different areas. there's a corresponding one for believers through time. Definitely church age believers. It is the ultimate mark in distinction. All the other SG3 will be great and phenomenal. But this one, you got to pay a price. It isn't one application and go through one horrendous test and come out on the other side okay and have passed it, etc. That's important because that's a part of the pieces working to that goal. Because it's the totality of phase two. As I've said before, some people will have a short period of time. They will lock in, they will listen, they will pay attention, and the rapture will occur. And they didn't have decades. They don't have all that SG3 they would have accumulated, but they can still get the crown. So it's to encourage people, if you're new to the game, so to speak, you can still come out with this, with the prize. And if you're long in the game, you can still botch it. See? I mean, it's like in any endeavor. Unless the runner who is doing so well crosses the finish line, it's all over. He isn't going to get the prize for whatever reasons. Now, in human competition, someone outdoes you, you make a mistake, all the rest of it. This one is so great because mistakes are allowed, and humongous ones, as long as the believer recovers from it and applies the doctrine in the Scripture. That's to encourage you, not to encourage you to do those things, but to encourage you and those failures. You as you're running, so to speak, living out your Christian life, you don't let them overtake you and drag you down and make your STA tell you you're worthless and you might as well quit. Now, there's plenty of people that will tell you that. But your STA will tell you that. They're not operating under divine viewpoint. Oh, you did that. Well, you know, it's like I always say, you read the Bible? Have you read about the great heroes of the faith? Yeah, they were all squeaky clean and never made any mistakes, did they? Isaac almost got himself under the sin and the death. He was under that. He was moving in that direction. Isaac. Just because you're one of the three patriarchs didn't mean you get I give you a free pass, you know? No, they had to fight the fight and do their thing. And it was his monster blind spot because they're that oldest idiot son of his. It had him tied up in knots. He was fighting God. He was fighting the very covenant and the very ideals that at the heart of the whole thing, in his case. He was the promised child, the heir. In Isaac your seed will be called. God anticipating the future. But Isaac had to do his part. And when he finally got around to doing it, He was blind, essentially. He could see shadows, but he's blind. And he was morose. I'm going to die any minute now. And he had everybody in the household believe in that. The funny part is he lived another 85 years. I mean, he's disoriented. I don't mean he said in his soul that all this is junk. There's a difference. He didn't say, oh, this covenant stuff and all this is bunk. No. He wanted it so bad to be an Esau. He wanted his will to be done, not God's, not the facts on the ground, that Esau, the good old boy who liked to hunt and fornicate, and you know, he was a big old, big personality, loved mom and dad, hugged them, how are you today? He wasn't treating, but his parents, there is a verse about his parents were distressed by his lifestyle out there in the cosmos. And they were not pleased with him. Because he was chasing Canaanite girls and all this mess. And of course, Jacob, the homebody, the promise goes through him. It isn't about, well, Jacob had his problems. Well, he sure did. Jacob did not hit the road and start getting his act together until he got into the hands of Laban. Dear old Uncle Laban. Don't you love family? Isn't it great? These people, they ought to have a little idol family and they worship it every... They do have that. They have family gods in certain places and they all worship these little icons. They set them all up. Well, some people don't have the icons. They just do it in their soul. It's family. It's family. You know? And it, pardon the expression, trumps everything. It's going to be funny. I'll get to use that for the next, well, however long he's president. It's crazy out there. Isn't it crazy? Every day you wake up and say, I'm living in an insane asylum. I just can't believe this stuff. That's why we run to Bible doctrine. Because it's insane out there. The world and people. I'd stay away from them. I'm not out there in their face with it. I got into it with some guy in the gym yesterday. Big old guy. Big old neck. I mean, I was over there deadlifting 400 pounds. Bam! You know? And we had a discussion, and I should have kept my mouth shut. I made a comment about something. It had nothing to do with doctrine. He comes over, he shakes my hand, what's your name, blah, blah, blah. We're going to go all through this. He said, you know what's wrong with... I'm a Christian. He said, you know what's wrong with men today? I said, yeah, I kind of have an idea. But I really don't think I have time to go into this. He was talking about males in particular, not men in general, generically. Yeah, and so I witnessed to him. I finally got to the point. You know, it's because it's one of these, you know, high testosterone level. You know, okay, you know. I'm glad you're a Christian, and you know, but this is what you're supposed to be doing as a Christian. You know, you're supposed to be in a local church where a pastor teaches. Well, I think everybody ought to just go to church, and I don't know. Well, everybody got their own opinions, and maybe we all just go to church and sit and read our Bibles. You know, you run into these kind of people. I said, "Why me, God? I just was here to work out. That's all." Normally, that's all I do, is I want to get in and get out. And I feel for these people. It's not like I hate them or anything. But until they get in our doctrine, they're just scatterbrained. They're just loose. They're like a car and the steering isn't working and it's just going everywhere. You know? It's sad. But these people put themselves there. I found the truth. You found the truth. You're not special. I'm not something special. I'm just cut out of the same cloth as the rest of the human race. I just want to know the truth. That makes me special? Okay. I just want to know what God's plan is. And then when I find out, then I'll figure out if I'm willing to pay the price and line up with it. So far, I have. There were times it was shaky, but I'm here. You're here. That's what we're about. We're about being different from this. Not coming in here, putting our head down, and falling asleep. Wake up. If the house was on fire, you wouldn't be asleep. You'd be figuring out the best way to get out of there. The nearest exit that's available. Because you want to preserve yourself. You don't want to die in a fiery holocaust. So you figure your way out. The human race knows this. Spiritually, oh, forget about that. And I lay down the ground rules for you. The ones I lay down today are not different than the ones I laid down decades ago. Yes, it's at a higher level. Understanding's greater. But it's the same basic principles. Prayer, rebound and keep moving, be in Bible class, walk in love, void these things, think like this. That's what we're supposed to do. And as I told you, all of my time in a fundamentalist church, I heard about rewards, but they were so vague and so out there, I didn't know what that was. He said, well, he's going to reward me for being this fundy and going, you know, and I never understood that you can get SG3 for giving someone a glass of cold water in fellowship. There's the rub. That's the qualifier. See, we all look around the world and we expect that in regard to certain things, and since sports is used here, athletics is used here, that we expect there's rules and that they're enforced. Or the game is chaos. Isn't just to throw a bunch of guys out on a field and they all run amok and anybody can do what they want to. That's not a game. That's just a free-for-all. It has no purpose in it at all. So we like this, and the Christian life is the same way. It subscribes to specifics. That's wrong behavior. That's wrong viewpoint. This is the right viewpoint. So the prize, the wreath represents the supreme category of SG3 the Lord bestows upon members of the royal family. Paul relates it to finishing one's phase 2 course in 2 Timothy 4, 7, and 8 on page 2, where he had, look all this man went through. Every time I want to complain and woe is me and all this is difficult and all the rest of it, and now I got to put up with this and I got to do that. It's easy to get in that mode. I try not to go there. I know I feel the pressure. I haven't even come close. If my last years on this earth are, you know, cloaked in suffering, I have not come close to what Paul went through. And I don't have to. We don't go out looking for suffering. We're not some ascetic monk that lays out in the cold and the elements and lets bugs crawl all over him to do penance for his sins. I mean, he's crazies. You know, that live in this mess that they create, that this is, you know. No, we don't pursue suffering. Suffering happens just like other things. We just go on and we suffer. But Paul, his final act is suffering. He has to humble himself and be in fellowship and let them execute him unrighteously. And apply all the scripture that's related to this principle. Do not fear them that can destroy the body. Don't fear anybody that threatens your body and they're going to hurt you. You don't fear that. All they can do is destroy the body. Fear him who can destroy both the body and the soul in the lake of fire. Fear him. He's got the ultimate suffering. That's the one we fear. Fear of God keeps us straight. I'm not going there. My God, take care of that. Fear helps keep us back. Though we're stupid at times and we run over that line. Paul relates it to finishing one's course. I fought the good fight. There's a lot of fights and struggles in the world, isn't there? Some of them are noble enough. People are struggling for things. There's movements. There's things that people are involved in. Struggles. But this is the good one. This is the one that is ultimately good. I have finished the course. Now, obviously, he has a few days, months, maybe even left. But he knew this was the end game, the dead end. That was it. He could write a couple letters to Timothy, and that's it. I'm done. Oh, what a feeling that must have been. I have come to this point. All these struggles, I bear in my body actual marks where they beat me. On more than one occasion, with those Roman rods, you know, those fascists they have, they show them up. They're on display in D.C. in the House of Representatives. It's kind of like a statement. We're the authorities. Line up with us. And you can look over those. We're not going to point at them or anything. We're not that crude. It's just there. That we wield this power. So, Paul suffered a lot of things. Imprisonments. He suffered a lot at the hands of believers. The Jews, believers. He talks about it. He had people betray him, did all kinds of stuff after he bent over backwards for them. But he wasn't bitter. He just says this is what happens. It happened to Jesus, it happens to me, it happens to, you know, people. He could be perfect. He could be absolutely perfect. But STAs will say, well, you're not, and all the way we go. I've fought the good fight. I've kept the faith, doctrine, content. In the future, there's laid up for me the crown, the wreath of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. That day hasn't come yet for Paul, has it? He's still waiting in the third heaven. And not only to me, this is the encouragement, but also to all who have loved his appearing. So it's only for those that are involved in these kind of things, a struggle and a course of life, starting from here to there. And the important part is how you end it. Yes, how you start it, all in the middle part, all that's important, but how you end, that's critical. And as I said with Isaac, he almost blew it. He almost blew it because he had a blind spot for a child that you could drive a Mack truck through. He can do no wrong. He's just, yeah. That's hurtful spiritually, by the way. Because if you put somebody above and give them special exemptions because of some love or affection, you're wrong. Jacob had to face the fact that his favorite wife, Rachel, just wouldn't get it together and acclimate to the situation that was in front of her, which some of you are facing probably today. She would not deal with her jealousy grid, with her sister. As if being married to Jacob and giving him sons was some sort of a contest drawn up in heaven. And the winner takes all. That was her mindset. You know, more isn't better. Always. She should have learned that from Abraham and Sarah. If there was two people God ought to bless with a great big family and a whole bunch of kids, it ought to have been that couple, right? They were the ones on earth. They were the greatest. And they have one child. One. But it's a miracle child in their old age. See? How many people get that one? Well, nobody. Virtually. So more isn't better. Personal favoritism of anybody is not right. Yes, we like people. We want to see them do well. We have a connection with certain people. We really want them to do well. But there is a line whereby we cannot destroy ourselves by making excuses for them. Because we love them and like them and had a relationship and all the rest of it. We have to, at some point, if they're not what they're supposed to be, put them in the same category you would a stranger over there that's doing the same junk. Jesus did that with his family. What does our song say today? Let goods and kindred go. I bet everybody that sinks into a lot of people, doesn't it? This is a Christian hymn. It's been around forever. So when I sing it, it stimulates the doctrine in my soul. Family isn't first. And I've loved all members of my family. But they don't come first. They're just members of my family. I'm talking about natural family. Same around here. You produce or you don't produce. And that's the way God looks at all of us. Because we're part of His family. And so He differentiates among us based on our obedience or disobedience. Based on that we're applying and have the right doctrine. You know, certain sins can just bury you. Of course, you know that. I don't mean to tell you, but that's what I'm up here for. And sins that you won't think about can bury you. Oh, that sin will do you in. Yeah, but this other stuff. Like Rachel letting envy and jealousy of her sister, Leah, mess her all up. So she's always having this, give me a child or I die. That really makes for a great husband and wife relationship. Give me a child or I'll die. Oh, man. How do you deal with that? And so Jacob says, am I God? I'm not God. I can't. We have relations and you're not pregnant. And so that's the way it goes. I did my part. This is how nutty it all gets with believers. You know, it's a shame. There was occasions when she applied and she had it right. You know, if she just hung around and hung in there. She's the one that started this, would you sleep with my maid so we can win this contest? Leah says, two can play that game. So Leah won the numbers game. See? And she won the spiritual game too, because she wasn't jealous. Here's a woman that ought to have been jealous. Not really, but you know what I'm saying. She had grounds. Jacob loved Rachel. And we know what happened on his wedding night, don't you? You can't make this stuff up. Focus on the family, and away we go. And this is going to build the 12 tribes of Israel? And all this stupidity and all this runner, God's in control. The whole thing. Jake was moving to maturity, had four women he had to deal with. Four. Come home at work out there, you know, all these, what he had to face. You know? And one get pregnant and Rachel's jealous. You know? But even in that, what I called the baby wars. In all that, quote, mess, God's in control. And every child, every male that was born, there was one female. But every child that was born to one of those four women makes up the 12 tribes of Israel. Their names are forever on the 12 tribes of Israel. And Rachel gives birth to the last one. The little brother. Born out of season. All of them were born in Mesopotamia. One was born in the land. Only one. Benjamin. And she died in childbirth. And Jacob had to bury her. And she died before her time, as it were. And they had to go move on down the road. She never lived to see the greatness of her son, Joseph. She never lived on this earth to get to bask in, that's my son. That's my son. He's the ruler of all Egypt. He went down there as a slave and he's ruling an empire. And delivered all the rest of these from famine and set them up in Goshen. She didn't live to see that. She cut herself short because of her stupid jealousy. One sin
Isn't that crazy? How the sin nature makes us so insane and stupid? It really does. Smart people otherwise, people that are in the heart of it all, miss it. It's amazing. All right, everyone will not receive a crown, a wreath. In fact, the prize can be forfeited. 1 Corinthians 9:24 through 27. And there were Corinthians that were in danger of this. And there was Corinthians that were, you know, do you not know that those who run in a race all run? We're all in the race. Some are not even doing the thing right from the get-go, but we all are in a race. Only one receives the prize. Now he isn't saying that there's only going to be one person that stands and gets the prize. That'd be very discouraging. No. He's saying that in a race, the majority are, however many contestants in an extended foot race, that we all know that one of those guys is going to win it. So that parallels over to the Bema seat where a few are going to get the prize. And the majority of Christians are going to have to just look on. They are. And because you're in Maranatha Church, it doesn't guarantee you anything other than that you're going to hear the truth. And if you implement this, you'll be fine. So about what people lose track of. They get their eyes on me. They get their eyes on whatever they get their eyes on. They're not focused on what they're supposed to be focused on. Their surroundings. You know, I have mature believers in this church. They did not spend their time here and waste it. They're mature in Christ. How do you think they got there? In spite of me? I'm a wreck and they just somehow figured it out. They really didn't need me, did they? No. These people. Now, if I can keep my spiritual game together and get before the Bema seat, they are my joy and my crown. And vice versa. So the background is the Isthmus Games, close to Corinth. Run in such a way that you may win. And everyone who competes in the games exercises self-control in all things. We've got to exercise self-control in our lives. We're just not free to run amok and do what we want to out here. Even good stuff, let alone bad stuff. Good stuff. We're not free. We're the servants of Christ, and we don't have the freedom to just do what we want to do. Maybe if you work for somebody, you don't have the freedom just to do what you want to do. I don't think I'll show up today. Oh, I'm gonna not do that. No. You lock into it. You exercise self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath. But we an imperishable one. And then he uses boxing. That's another event. Because that applies to him more than maybe others. Because he was throwing punches, so to speak. I've been up here throwing punches. The words and the phrases and the stuff that comes out of my mouth. See, it's boom, 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 boom. I'm throwing punches. This is an uppercut of this, whatever. I'm throwing punches. But if I'm saying wrong stuff, I'm missing my target. And if you're missing your target, well, for a boxer, you're expending energy. See, because as you go through this, you get more worn down. So he says, I box in such a way as not without aim. That's what I see out here with all these people running their mouths. They're Christians. Ran into one of them at the Rollins over there, the luncheon. Oh my God. I was like, are you kidding me? But you can't straighten that mess out. Forget it. You can throw the divine viewpoint out and they still just rolling right along. So they went over and tapped on a couple of the rest of you. It happens. I box in such a way as not beating the air. I buffet. I discipline my body and make it my slave. Keep it in training. See, if you were in that sport, You better be in top shape. You don't want to have lost because you went in there overweight, winded. You're going to take care of yourself. You're in a special regimen. And this has to do with overruling your sin nature, not letting it get the upper hand and take you down a path, lest possibly after I preach to others, I myself should be disqualified. I think it's called a castaway in the King James Version, but disqualified, like athletes can be disqualified. They can foul out, they can whatever. Colossians 2:18, let no one keep defrauding you of your prize. That's these pseudos that had come in there with their pseudo, the Colossian heresy. But you've got to go back to Colossians. We went through their heresy. That stuff's still around today in various forms. Mysticism. I've seen visions. God talked to me. I mean, it's all over out there. People just, I know it's hard for us to realize it, but you know what? In all kinds of realms out there, people make stuff up, taking their stand on visions they haven't seen. Be one thing if you saw something. then I'd question that real quick too, because you know the dark side can pull all kinds of things, you know, magic out and fool people. The interaction with demons, but there's the fakes. There are people that have so, listen people, there are people that have so, and it takes time to do this, but it happens. They have so built up scar tissue of the soul that lying and making up stuff doesn't matter to them. And they start believing their own stuff. They actually deceive themselves into believing this. I saw an interview with a guy whose face was blacked out like he was mafia, but he wasn't mafia. He was talking about a high-fluting evangelist down in, TV evangelist, down in Dallas. He said, oh, I knew the guy. He said, he was a drinking buddy of mine in college. And we'd go to those tent revivals, as Fundy's head under. We'd take our beer and sit there and drink. Go out there. And one day the idea was, you know what? We can do this. We'll get a sound system. And we'll practice preaching. Have an artificial voice, you know. God. And get all these crap going. That's what we decided to do. And so we started doing this and how you can get rich by supporting our ministry and healing, all this mess. He finally said, I couldn't do it anymore. Because I was a fake. I was just doing a fake. I knew it was fake. And then he stopped, his face still blacked out. He said, see, I'll show you, I can preach. He went into a preaching mode. One of those ones we always used to laugh at Bible school. You know, this guy had a normal voice when you talk to him one-on-one. But he'd get up there in the pulpit, and this thing would shift into gears. Histrionics. I mean, come on. This isn't about acting, adopting a British accent or something. This is about teaching the truth. So they have these. That's another way that impresses people, because they think it's holy. It's spiritual. Because he goes into this mode. And then when he's a regular guy talking to you, he's got a regular voice. They're faking it. So, like I said, people make up stuff. They lie through their teeth. And the more they lie, the more they add that. And they keep doing it. They keep doing this. The Bible mentions these guys. Various categories of them in the letters. That these kinds of people will rise up in the last days. Believers, unbelievers, whatever. So don't let one aim defraud you of your prize by delighting in self-abasement. Oh, people are impressed with that one. Self-abasement. Well, I don't have... I have an ordinary car and a little house, and you live in too big of a house, and you got too many nice things, and I just think that's inappropriate. Really? Where'd you get that? You didn't get it from the Bible. So asceticism, and it takes a lot of forms. Now, these are the extreme forms of colonies of people who live in, you know, like I said, there's stories of these idiots, you know. Self-abasement, imposing on yourself restrictions and looking so holy. Well, the Pharisees did that too. In fact, they put white stuff on their face to fake fasting in public. Oh, look at that. Look at him. He hasn't eaten for days. How do people do this stuff? To fake people out. There's certain garb you can wear. Now, yeah, a prophet in the Old Testament like Elijah, they wore sackcloth. That was their uniform. Because it had a message that things are austere in our civilization and we need to get it together. But self-imposed? For to draw people in? Look at how he sacrifices. Look at what the sacrifices they make. I don't make any more than I have to. Honestly, if I don't have to make a sacrifice, I don't do it. I have to watch myself. And as I've grown spiritually, I'm pretty generous. If I see a believer in need, I'll help him. And you say, let them faith rest it and pray about it. Which they can, obviously, but no, I'm pretty generous in that regard. And some of the people have turned on me. I went to bat for them. I didn't have to go there. I didn't have to do that. Besides stand up here and teach. I encouraged them when they were down. I reinforced the doctrine that they'd heard from this pulpit. All right, you failed. You did that. Whatever. You got these maniacs after you. I'll be there for you. When's your court date? And so, that's part of the sufferings. Jesus did all... Remember how Jesus did good things for people and then they turn on him? Remember that? And this is the Son of God. It just healed a guy of leprosy. This guy was confined to an awful existence for the rest of his life in a leper colony. And he came to Jesus and Jesus healed him. And he said, go show yourself to the priests as a witness. That's my mission for you in phase two, starting right now. You go show... No, not him. He knows better. So he goes into all these villages and sets himself up and it starts a ministry of Jesus healed me and isn't Jesus great? And the people were so ecstatic and crazy that Jesus couldn't even enter those towns because of all the idiots. Because of him. It's the loose cannons out here. I know better. I'm not willing to take this road, Jesus said. I'm going to do great things for God. Let no one keep defrauding you your prize by delighting in self-abasement, asceticism, and the worship of angels. We had some problems with that too. It's not worshiping them. People worship all kinds of stuff, don't they? They pray to saints. Yeah, supposedly. I mean, you know. Can you imagine praying to a person that died back when? That's a lot of good. The person's dead, idiot. And you're praying to them? Like they have some power over time and history? People buy this stuff. This is just the beginning of the church age. This stuff exploded in the Middle Ages and on down to our present time. And in the last days, that's one of the characteristics. False teachers and false prophets are coming out of the woodwork. Like termites. They're everywhere. Be on your guard. Some will look real good to a point. That's called the setup. They'll look real good. It's like a confidence man. The really good ones, they play this thing and make it look really good. There's some really sophisticated confidence men out there. Con artists. Con artists are mentioned in the Bible, by the way. In Corinthians, he says some of you are those kind of people. Setting people up so they can get rich. Have these little plans. And some are very good. So these are confidence artists. They're out there. And they'll say how great you are, and yeah, you're doing the right thing. You can't say that with any honesty. You don't know anything. I'd rather you just say, well, okay. Oh, it's great what you're doing there, but I'm not doing it. What? Going on down the road. Taking his stand on visions he has seen, inflated without cause by his fleshly mind. You know, they don't even have any reason to be proud. They're fakes. Revelation 3:11, I am coming quickly. Hold fast what you have in order that no one takes your wreath. Let's take our break.